This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Wilco sometimes seems to be as much of a cause as a band. A couple of years ago, their ambitious and adventurous album Yankee Hotel Foxtrot left executives at the band's record label at a loss. When they refused to release it, Wilco bought the album back, streamed it online for free, found another label, and resounding success. At a time when many dismiss rock and roll as stale, Wilco's records win praise for invention. At a time when much of the music business seems focused on hits, fans and critics say that Wilco is all about the music. Their latest album is called A Ghost Is Born. It just won 2 Grammys. There are 2 books out about Wilco and a documentary movie. Today, Wilco joins us in Studio 4A, NPR's performance studio, to take your calls about music and the music industry and to perform live. If you have questions about the band, about the business, about tradition and experiment, our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. The email address is TOTN at NPR.org. And Wilco, welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
Jeff Tweedy is on vocals and guitar. Nels Klein on lead guitar. John Stewart on bass. Glenn Kochi behind the drums. Mike Jorgensen at the piano. And Pat Sanson on keyboards. But Jeff Tweedy, you just won 2 Grammys. Who gets to keep 2 Grammys? You got 6 people here.
I haven't seen them yet, you know. So, Two Grammys. Well, I think we each get one for the best alternative album. And I'm not sure about the packaging one.
The packaging design?
Yeah.
Who gets that? But you get little mini ones or you get full size? I don't know.
I have no idea. I don't know. This is new territory for us.
You weren't at the ceremony?
No, we were in Birmingham, Alabama.
I'm sure the red carpet was just as nice.
It was actually kind of poetic to be in Birmingham, Alabama on the night of the Grammys.
Why don't we start us out with a song?
All right.
Wilco with Late Greats, cut from their most recent album, A Ghost Is Born. And Jeff Tweedy, a lot of people reviewing that record have said that cut, it's the last cut on the record, said that cut was a sort of a comment about the band's cult status.
Yeah, I think that's one reading of it that was pretty popular with a lot of people. And I certainly understand that. It's the type of thing that fits in with the mythology that's grown up around the band. and we haven't had a lot of radio success, except on NPR.
We do our best.
Yeah.
You've had a fair amount of success nonetheless, but the cult, are you talking to your audience? Are you talking to, who are you talking to in that song?
Well, to be honest, that song to me was more about the lines, the best song never gets sung, the best life never leaves your lungs. That song to me was important to have at the end of the record as those being the last lyrics on the record. Basically because I guess I was really interested in the idea of relating this concept of the artist collaborating with a listener, and that when you're listening to a record, that song isn't actually being sung except inside you. And that's a concept that interests me a lot. I like the thought of each consciousness that we're playing to as being something that is collaborating with us, and that's really kind of what it was about.
Huh. Interesting. The reviewers went more for the politics of the song than
Well, it was more on a meta level for.
Well, it's, of course, all about the reviewers. Nevertheless, 800-989-8255, if you'd like to join us and talk with Wilco. Our number, 800-989-TALK, and our email address is totn@npr.org. You guys tour 99% of the time. How different is it for you to come into a studio like this to either perform, which is relatively unusual, or go into a recording album? What's the difference?
I don't know if we tour 99% of our time.
It might feel that way sometimes.
Yeah, it definitely does. We love the studio quite a bit. Actually, I think as we get older, I think the studio is probably preferred. but, you know, I don't think any of us feel like we could give up playing live, because I think it's really important to stay connected to the experience of playing music in a room full of people, and that's really what it's all about. But to be honest, we're all very comfortable in the studio. We love this environment, and it's actually kind of a thrill to be here.
You can control it a lot more.
Yeah. I don't know. Or you can do a lot more experimentation and find a lot of things that you have no control over if you're willing to use a studio in that way.
Let's get a caller on the line. This is, let's see if I can press the right button. Computer is not cooperating at the moment. We'll get that fixed up during the break, but we have a couple of minutes before we get there. You've gotten critical praise since day one, just about, with Wilco. Commercial success, as you mentioned, not a lot of success on the radio. And your records sell well. They don't sell great.
Right. No, they sell well by our standards and okay by the industry standards, especially the way that success was defined at the Reprise, the label we were on initially.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, I think we work in a pretty reasonable budget, and we make records that sell enough to make money, but it's, in a lot of ways, I think that was the case before, but it wasn't enough money.
Mm-hmm. Is it ever enough money? Anyway, let's get that listener on the line. I think I can do this now. Kevin is with us from Caldwell, Idaho.
Well, hey, Neil.
Hey, Kevin, how are you?
Good.
Go ahead.
Pleasure to talk to Jeff and yourself.
Thanks.
I just wanted to address something that you alluded to in your introduction about the music industry. It seems to me that they're not really very receptive with bands that evolve sort of, you know, naturally. It seems to me a lot of evolution in other artists' work is sort of forced to follow a trend. But I respect the fact that Wilco has seemed to have developed based on their inspiration, and just, you know, it seems more sincere. And I was just wondering if Jeff could comment maybe on the fact that it's difficult for a band to evolve and still, you know, maybe get a contract or able to get their music out. And I don't know, they've evolved with sincerity, which I really, really appreciate.
Yeah, once you've had success, don't people want you to do the same thing over and over again?
Yeah, exactly. And of course, the record labels would prefer that too. But I don't know. It speaks to sort of the movement of the independent labels. I was wondering if you could sort of follow up on that comment.
Sure. I think that's where this idea that we're a really experimental band has come in. There's definitely an element of that we really have embraced and love exploring in the studio, and we're all pretty curious musically. But a lot of it has just been the fact that our records haven't sounded like the one before. That seems to create this idea that, I don't know, there's something devious going on, I think, in the minds of the powers that be. But
did you have record, company executives tell you, gee, that record was good, why don't you do that again? Or
oh no, they never liked any of our records. It's just the Yankee Hotel Foxtrot was the last straw, I guess, you know. Which the irony is that all along the record before that, Summer Teeth, was in our minds the most straightforward poppy kind of record we could make at that time, and Yankee Hotel Foxtrot in our minds was the most accessible and contemporary sounding of any of the records we'd made, you know. Mm-hmm. But they didn't hear it that way, and you know, I don't really know what they were expecting, but it's definitely kind of ancient history to us now. It's just something that happened.
If somebody said, you know, sit down, write a pop hit, do you think you could do it?
No, I don't.
It's harder than you think.
I imagine it's really hard. I definitely admire people that can do that kind of focused, writing. But it's something different than what we're doing.
Hey, thanks for the call, Kevin. We'll have more with Jeff Tweedy and Wilco, and more music when we come back from a short break. 800-989-8255 if you'd like to join us. Email is totn@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're broadcasting one floor up from our usual digs today. We're in Studio 4A with the Grammy Award-winning band Wilco. And we're taking your calls. If you'd like to join us, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, email totn@npr.org. How about another song?
Okay, yeah, I had another comment I wanted to make about... I was thinking, how could I be so positive that I couldn't sit down and write a song that would be a hit? And I guess what I wanted to point out is that actually all of these songs are attempts to write hit songs. I mean, we've been trying for years, so I'm pretty certain at this point that that's not something in the cards for us.
So if it happens, it's lightning in a bottle. Well, go ahead. This is a tune called Hummingbird.
His goal in life was to be an echo, riding alone, town after town, toll after toll. Fix bayon out through the great southwest to forget her. She appears in his dreams. Sunset on a television set, could have said it, but he never could. Remember to remember me, standing still in your past, floating fast like a hummingbird. His goal in life was to be an echo. Thank you. to remember me. Standing still in your past, floating fast like a hummingbird. Remember to remember me. Standing still in your past, floating fast like a hummingbird.
Hummingbird by Wilco, Jeff Tweedy, Nels Klein, John Stewart, Glenn Cochi, Mike Jorgensen, Pat Sansone. They're here in Studio 4A. Let's get another caller on the line. And this is Matthew. Matthew's calling from Muncie, Indiana.
Hey, Neil.
Hey.
Wilco. I'm a big fan of both the program and the band, so this is a major love fest for me. just a question directed mostly towards Jeff. Well, I've been a big fan ever since Being There came out, and I've noticed, especially in the last couple of records, your lyric writing is getting more and more literate. I was just wondering, like, what kind of authors do you read? I mean, can you list names?
Yeah, I mean, thank you. That's very, very kind of you. I like a lot of authors. Henry Miller's been a big influence, someone I like a lot. William H. Gass, William Carlos Williams, a lot of people that aren't around anymore. Well, William H. Gass is.
Yeah. Cool.
At the same time, do you get, you know, you're obviously gigging around a lot. Do you get a chance to go out and see other acts? Who do you listen to today?
A lot of people that aren't around anymore. You know, it's like, I think as a band, we tend to gravitate towards archival type of recordings. I don't know. There's a lot of great reissues that just keep coming out. And let's see, let's on this tour, been listening to a band called Relatively Clean Rivers from 1975. Been listening to some Tony Allen. The Baby Huey story.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. That was Matthew in Muncie, Indiana. Here's an email from Justin Hennigson in Flagstaff, Arizona. I'd like Jeff to comment about making the Mermaid Avenue records with Billy Bragg. Seems like such a daunting task to write and arrange music for lyrics written by such a revered folk figure as Woody Guthrie.
Well, at the time, I think that we really did ourselves a favor by not thinking about it too much.
Not let yourself get intimidated.
Well, I mean, just looking at it, like, I think our take on it was that the spirit of Woody would have been pretty irreverent. So in that spirit, we tried to just do whatever we wanted, you know. It's actually a good question because that's the song we're going to play. So one of Woody Guthrie's lyrics.
Well, why don't you go ahead?
All right. Still sing in the mountain bed, we made of limbs and leaves. Do you still sat there near the sky where the holly berry bleeds? You laughed as I covered you over with leaves, heads, breasts, hips, and thighs. You smiled when I said the leaves are just the color of your eyes. Thank you.
rosin smells and turpentine smells from eucalyptus and pine. Bitter taste of twigs we chewed with tangled woodvine's twine. Trees held us in on all four sides so thick we could not see. I could not see any wrong in you, and you saw none in me. Your arm was brown against the ground, your cheeks a part of the sky. Your fingers played with grassy mosses, numbered you could lie. Your stomach moved beneath your shirt, your knees were in the air. Your feet played games with the mountain woods as you lay thinking there. Below us the trees grew clumps of trees, raised families of trees and they sprouted as we tossed their heads to the wind and flung good seeds away. Hot and the sun was bright down in the valley below, where people starved and hungry for love, so empty come and go. There in the shade and hid from the sun, we freed our minds and learned. Our greatest reason for being here, our bodies moved and burned. There on our mountain bed of leaves, we learn life's reason why. People laugh and love and dream, they fight and they hate to die. Smell of the air, I know it's still there. Most of our leaves have blown. Words still ring in the brush in the trees where the singing seeds are sown. The shape and form is dim but plain there on our mountain bed. And I see my life as bright as where you laughed and hid your head. Why man must work and how to dream big dreams, to conquer time and space and fight the rivers and the seas. I stand here filled with my emptiness now, look at city and land. And I know why farms and cities are built by hard won miller's hand. Well, I've crossed many states just to stand here now, my face all hot with tears. I've crossed city and valley and desert and stream to bring my body here. My history and future blaze bright in me, in all my joy and pain. Go through my head on our mountain bed where I smell your hair again. All this day long I linger here, on and through the night. My greed's desires, my cravings, hopes, my dreams inside me fight. My loneliness healed, my emptiness filled, I walk above all pain. Back to the breast of my woman and child, scatter my seeds again.
Lyrics by Wilco lyrics, rather, by Woody Guthrie, music by Wilco. They're here live in Studio 4A. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get another caller on the line. And now I've done it. What have I done here? Oh, Mr. Clever has afflicted the computer again, bringing up a little window he doesn't know how to get rid of. So we'll instruct the technical crew to come in and repair these mistakes that I have made. Nothing they did. Here's an email. This from Carol Williams in Novato, California. I'm a stay-at-home mom who listens pretty much every day, all day, to NPR. I'm delighted that today I get to hear my favorite band on the air twice. When can we expect a new album? These people are demanding. I've been alternating Yankee Hotel Foxtrot and A Ghost Is Born in my car CD player, and my kids are generally singing along. I'd love to have a new one for the rotation.
We'd love to have a new one, too. I think that... The only thing I can say is we have plans to start recording sometime in the late part of summer, hopefully get some recording done in the fall, and hopefully have another record out early next year.
How long do you tour after you've put out a record?
As long as it takes.
As long as people are willing to put up with it?
Kind of. It's really... I don't know. We don't really have a general rule of thumb on that. It's just kind of what feels right. It tends to be a little bit longer these days because there's more places that we are where we can play, and people seem to know us, and that makes it easier to tour longer without going back to the same cities over and over again. Early on, we definitely saw a lot of diminishing returns.
And a few empty seats there.
Yeah. Like fourth or fifth time through Atlanta and on Summer Teeth.
It was a good run.
Yeah.
Now I think I figured this out. Yes. No, did I? Come on. Yes, Nick is on the line with us from St. Louis.
Hi, Neil.
Hey.
Hello.
Glad I managed to find the right button.
Thanks. I'm privileged to be on this call. I just called really to thank Jeff Tweedy and the rest of the band for resurrecting my interest in music. I'm a 43-year-old who basically gave up on music, well, I'd say in the early 90s. Now I'm at a point where I stay to the end of the credits on the SpongeBob movie just so I can hear the Wilco song. I saw Wilco in St. Louis and in Chicago in the fall, and I just wanted to ask Jeff in particular if he could reflect on how he's evolved from his days with Uncle Tupelo in here in the St. Louis area, and do they expect to continue to play in some of the more intimate venues like they did in St. Louis and in Chicago this past fall?
As far as how I've evolved, I'm walking upright these days. I'm sorry. But we're playing the 9:30 Club tonight, and we plan to keep playing clubs about that size as much as we can.
9:30 Club is a nightclub here in Washington, and what, how many people in there?
I don't know, 1,100 or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's not super small, but it's definitely a kind of room where it feels really intimate.
Yeah, it's not the MCI Center down the street.
Well, we haven't played there either. But,
By the way, if you haven't had enough from Wilco on this program, NPR is going to be streaming tonight's performance at the 9:30 Club. Even if you get to Washington, it's sold out. So you can hear it online. NPR.org has all the details. We're going to take a short break and come back with more from Wilco and singer-songwriter Jeff Tweedy. If you'd like to join us, the phone number is, as always, 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. The email address is totn@npr.org. Here are some of the stories NPR News is following today. Russian leader Vladimir Putin and President Bush have announced steps to keep nuclear materials out of the hands of terrorists. They have also agreed to prevent terrorists from acquiring shoulder-fired anti-aircraft missiles. And Pope John Paul II has been transported to the hospital. Doctors there are considering the performance of a tracheotomy to aid the pontiff's breathing. You can hear more on those stories later today on All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan. We'll be back after the break. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Now back to Studio 4A. Jeff Tweedy and Wilco have joined us. The rest of the band is Nels Klein, John Stierrett, Glenn Cochi, Mike Jorgensen, and Pat Sansone. And got another song for us?
Yeah. It's another song off of Ghost Is Born. It's called Muzzle of Bees.
Have come unstitched from climbing the tree. The dogs left some say they're barking, don't think they're mean. Some people get so frightened, fences in between.
Jeff Tweedy and Wilco. Jeff, it's got to be so much fun to stand up on a stage in front of all that sound.
It's a pretty awesome feeling, yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty cranked down here in the studio for obvious reasons, but on stage that must be, your whole body must shake with it.
My body shakes off stage more than on stage, actually. Yeah, it actually calms me down quite a bit.
Let's get another caller on the line, and this is Brad. Brad's calling from Dayton.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, Brad.
Hi there. We were talking. You touched earlier on the internet and streaming media, and it sounds like that was like a huge deal. My band uses the internet almost exclusively. We book all of our shows. We have people from all over the country that hit our site. We sell our CDs. People show up to our shows. People review our CDs, and you know we get glowing reviews. And it sounds like pretty much everything that we have in place, you have in place. But we don't have a Grammy. Is there any advice? Is there any one thing that you can say to an independent artist that helped you the most? Obviously the internet has been huge for independent artists, but my band wouldn't exist without it. And we even have a niche. We're a Celtic rock band. So, you know, and it's even harder for us. So is there any, like, one thing that you can say, yes, this is the primary factor that broke us without radio play? I'll answer off the air, too, by the way.
Hey, thanks for the call.
Well, to be honest, I mean, the only thing I can think of is not to give up. I mean, but also I think, you know, keeping your focus on the joy of making music is really the only place to exist. I don't know what point there would be in doing it if you weren't enjoying it. So I think all the way back to Uncle Tupelo and Wilco, I think all along we've been happy that things have grown and made things a little bit easier each year as far as like us being able to live off of our music. But I don't think we've ever really approached it with this idea that we're going to break and become some kind of sensation. And I think that's worked to our advantage. We've just been able to make music that we believe in and not give up.
Let me follow up on about making music available online. When you had the disagreement with Reprise on Yankee Hotel Foxtrot, you made it available free on your website. When A Ghost Is Born was leaked, you then simply asked those who downloaded the album to make a charitable donation. Why did you decide to do that?
I just think that the arguments against those kinds of things are based on fear. I don't think that as a band you should be afraid of people hearing your music and sharing it. I think it's a great thing. Mm-hmm. It's all, this argument seems really far, far away from the idea of art to me. It's all about commerce. It's, you know, the arguments against downloading are all about the ability to sell a piece of plastic, and that's really not our business. That's a record company's business. Our business is to make music and be heard, and we've been lucky to be supported doing that. But, you know, the internet is like a library to us, or it's like radio for us. Mm-hmm. We want people to hear our music. We'd rather have them listen to it and decide they don't like it than decide they don't like it because they can't afford it, or, you know, then, you know, don't know what it's about.
Yeah, you know, that idea that if they like it, they should make a donation. I think we'll work on that. Hey, here's an email. This is from Brother Mateen in San Francisco. Do you support alternative copyright schemes such as Creative Commons licensing?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There are, I think that's a really noble thing, and I think it should continue. I think more artists should definitely contribute material to a Creative Commons type of program. Mm-hmm.
Let's get Jim on the line. Jim's calling from Hastings, Michigan.
Hi.
Hey.
Great show again.
Thanks.
And I really appreciate the attitude of Wilco and towards the music and enjoying it on whatever level it is. I'm a musician too. But my comment or question was do you think radio, and I'm a 50-plus boomer, do you think radio will ever catch up, NPR excluded, with the music scene today? It seems like the only thing out there is, you know, how many times can you listen to Stairway to Heaven? No, I'm intended to Led Zeppelin, but when will radio ever catch up to the music scene?
Never. Now.
Well, you know what? You should check out satellite radio as far as like an option for having lots of different types of music represented. It's a you know, there's a lot more going on there as far as not hearing the same canon of classic rock music played over and over and over again. You know, that's the only thing I can say. And, you know, NPR stations on the left of the dial generally are...
A lot of college stations, too. Yeah. Thanks very much for the call, Jim. You've been quoted as saying that, you know, if you listen to music in context, sometimes it sounds like Drek, and you've used the example of ABBA. and if you take it out of context, though, and just listen to it separately, it takes on a different meaning.
Oh, yeah. I think it's really difficult to... be such a harsh critic on pop music and all kinds of music. I think it to be, you know, sort of idealistic, it's just basically all human beings having the impulse to make noise, make sound, and if you can kind of listen to it in a vacuum without all the cultural baggage and the knowledge of what their fans look like, knowledge of what, you know, all these different things that you like, you know, want to separate yourself from.
And these
it.
Cultural associations.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You know, Mamma Mia.
Well, Dancing Queen is just a fantastic piece of music, you know, so.
That is Jeff Tweedy. The band Wilco is with us here in Studio 4A, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Quick email question, and this from Matt. I have a question about stage design. I saw the band recently in Portland and was very impressed by the imagery that was played throughout the show on a screen behind the band. It almost seemed as though for each song there was a short film made. I wonder how much the band had to do with the choice of design, what they believe it adds to the performance. It added greater depth to the experience for me, which I appreciated.
Awesome.
Yeah, well, that's really nice. Deborah Johnson is... has been working with us for the past couple of years, and most of those things are ideas that she's had and images that she's come up with that she associates with our music. And I guess the only part that we had to play in it was, Mike, aside from Mike filming some of the things that she uses, just basically kind of giving her general ideas of what we like and don't like, and maybe throwing an odd request at her that she tolerates very famously. No, but you know, like we want birds and crows and stuff, you know. I don't know, she responds well to that kind of suggestion, but you know, it's really, we have to give her a lot of credit. It's she's done a lot of work.
I want to thank you guys for coming in, because I think we have time for one last song, and this, according to my list, is Handshake Drugs.
Chewing gum, there's something to do. The blinds are being pulled down on the dew. Inside out of love, what a laugh, I was looking for you. Saxophone started blowing me down. I was buried in sound. The taxi cabs are driving me around. The handshake drugs I bought downtown. What you want me to be? it's okay for you to say what you want from me. I believe that's the only way for me to be exactly what do you want me to be.
Jeff Tweedy and Wilco with us here in Studio 4A. If you want to hear more, Wilco's appearance tonight at the 930 Club in Washington, D.C. will be streamed live at npr.org. Ira's here tomorrow with Science Friday. I'm Neil Conan. We'll see you Monday. This is NPR.